Cruel pilgrims on that journey of that narrow road. And those who've gone before us line the way, cheering on the faithful, encouraging the weary. Their lives a stirring testament to God's sustaining grace. Surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us run the race not only for the prize, but as those who've gone before us, let us leave to those behind us that heritage of faithfulness passed on through godly life. Oh, may all who come behind us find a way forth. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footsteps that we lead them to believe, and the lives we live inspire them to obey. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. After all our hopes and dreams have gone away, and all our children sift through all we've left behind, may those clues that they discover and memories that they uncover become the life that leads them to the road we must find. Oh, may all who come behind us find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light the way. May the footprints that we leave lead them. Find us faithful. May the fire of our devotion light their way. May the footprints that we leave
Just bow with me for a word of prayer. Just Father, we just come before you this morning. God, already overwhelmed in this service by your presence. God, thank you for that song Steve just sang that reminds us of those who have gone before us, who have passed the faith along to us. who have been an example of faith and a life lived for you. Thank you for that. And God, this morning, just as he's saying, God, may we be inspired to be that for those around us. May our lives be so attuned with you, so reflected on you, God, that others would see you in us and be inspired to follow you. And Father, I just have to thank you this morning for your presence in this place. I know that your word says that where two or more are gathered together in one place, that you're in the midst of them. I know that you're here. And I think that we sometimes take that for granted. Thank you for showing up week after week after week in this place when we worship. Thank you for showing up in our homes, in our private prayers and devotions. Thank you this morning for revealing yourself in simple hymns and spiritual songs in worship. For revealing yourself in prayers like the one Denny prayed. Through the teaching of your word this morning in our Bible study classes. Thank you. I pray that this morning in this place, God, that the Spirit would be so free to work and move around us, God, that it would move us and stir us and change us, and that we couldn't miss it. We couldn't miss you. God, may we listen for your voice. God, may we watch for where you're moving and working. May we see it on the pages of your book this morning. And God, may we be changed by it. If there's one here that doesn't know you, may they find the love of Jesus Christ this morning in this place that saves and changes lives. May Christians who are hurting and discouraged, who are down and out and maybe searching for answers, may they see it, may they find it this morning in this place in you. God, we are forever grateful and thankful for what you've done for us. And what you do for us every single day. And God, as we open your word together this morning, I pray that you would give us fresh eyes to see it and fresh ears to hear it. Lord, don't let us miss that. Would you let your Spirit just teach it to us, show it to us, and may we be changed by it to your glory. And when we get ready to walk out those doors in a minute and enter into a time of fellowship, may our conversations reflect it around a table, to our neighbor, to our friends. May it be reflected in our families this next week as we gather to celebrate Thanksgiving to you. May it be reflected. God, I don't think this prayer time that we have at the start of the service is just something tacked on that we try to get out of the way. God, I think this is so important that we spend time just looking and talking to you, asking you to bless us and pour yourself out on us. Do that today to your glory. And God, what happens in this place today, God, we know it's not because we're sitting in a building in Buda or that it's a Baptist church or who's standing in the pulpit. God, we know whatever happens in this place today is because of you, to your glory. So be worshiped and adored through your words this morning. Change us, magnify your name through us to your glory. Fall on us, Holy Spirit. It's in your name I ask these things. Amen. Amen. Take your Bible, if you have your copy of the scripture with you this morning, and I'd like for you to be finding a somewhat familiar story in the Gospel of Luke. Be going to Luke chapter 17. Most of you guys are kind of getting used to me by now, so you know I've been in this church pastor, and you've heard me preach probably hundreds and hundreds of times already. So you kind of know I don't like to be pigeonholed into kind of topical type sermons. So when it comes to holidays and stuff like that, it's a little bit of a struggle for me. I really feel inclined this morning to preach on the subject of Thanksgiving. And as I was just praying about the message I was going to share with you today, I really prayed, God, I want to preach a message about just not because it's the week of Thanksgiving. I want to preach a message about what ought to be always in the heart of a believer. What ought to always characterize our life as Christians. I want to talk about Thanksgiving this morning. And I've given the message this morning a rather unusual title. You will see that I have called this message hashtag thankful. Now, probably when you see that, you know what I'm talking about, or maybe you don't. I've already seen some people going, huh? Hashtag thankful, what is that? Well, if you are a social media person, that is, if you have Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or any of those social media things, you know what a hashtag is, right? I had to go look it up. I'm just old enough that I'm not sure, okay? So I know you go hashtag something, right, when you finish making a post on Facebook or Twitter, but I'm like, what does that actually mean? So you know me, I Googled it, right? What does the hashtag mean? Here's what it means. It means that whoever wrote the post or made the post is telling you something that is highly important and significant to them. That's what that hashtag means. That's a lot. Maybe you didn't know that. So here it is. Listen, if you're a young person and you use hashtags, you better know that when you do that, whatever you just hashtag, you said, this is highly important to me and significant in my life. That's what it means. Hashtag something. Well, let me tell you, Christian, we ought to, given that definition, Christians ought to be hashtag thankful, right? Do you get what I'm saying? We ought to, every day, all the time, it ought to be reflected in our prayers, it ought to be reflected in our face, it ought to be reflected in our conversations. Sometimes it isn't, right? We ought to be hashtag thankful, because thankfulness, thanksgiving, gratitude for you and I as believers ought to be of high significance and importance to us given what our God has done on our behalf. I mean, as we gather in this place to worship today, I don't know what you felt this morning, and I don't always base a worship service on feelings, but I'm going to tell you, just standing down here singing those songs was powerful. Did you feel that? I mean, I sensed that this morning. I mean, it was hashtag awesome, right? Gosh, I'm really sounding young now, aren't I? I mean, I'm getting younger as we go standing here. I can feel it. I can feel it. I mean, just think about that. It's interesting to me, isn't it, that once a year we celebrate Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving has become all kinds of things to people, right? It's big turkey feasts, right, that you overeat and then you crash on a couch because of the tryptophan that's in the turkey, right? You've heard all that. Or you overdose on football for the whole weekend, right? Maybe you have traditions as a family that you do during Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's become a lot of those kind of things, and we kind of tag that on at one time a year. And I thought, how tragic that we as Christians would one time of year preach a sermon on Thanksgiving, when it ought to be every single day for us. Every time you rise in the morning, it ought to be on your lips, right? Every time you put your head down at night, it ought to be on your lips. Every time you receive a blessing during the day, all through the day, when you're praying without ceasing, like God's word says, listen, that ought to be an all the time continual attitude from your heart. The world ought to get tired of our hashtag Thanksgiving. I mean, they ought to see that coming from us all the time. And I want you just to think about that with me just a little bit this morning. We kind of struggle with this, I think, sometimes. But I'm just going to tell you that the giving of thanks ought never, never, never to be a one-day event in the life of a believer. Never. I love what the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 19 and 20. This will be on the screen. Just look at this. The Apostle Paul said this: speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. I think that's what was happening this morning, while we could sense that. It's like we were speaking to one another, right? Just kind of exalting the Lord, just giving thanks to Him for who He is. So that's what Paul says. Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. And look at this, verse 20. Giving thanks, and here it is, always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what did he just tell us? Thanksgiving is never to be a one-day-a-year event.
It is to be always in all things, and he didn't qualify it. Good and bad, indifferent or another, right? Always. Dr. John MacArthur says this, a thankful heart is one of the primary identifying characteristics of a believer. It stands in stark contrast to pride, selfishness, worry, and it helps to fortify the believer's trust in the Lord and reliance on his provisions, even in the toughest times. No matter how choppy the seas become, a believer's heart is buoyed by constant praise and gratefulness to the Lord. I like that statement. I like what he says. A thankful heart is one of the primary identifying characteristics of a believer. Now, just think about that statement just for a second if you're a Christian. How does your heart daily reflect thanksgiving? Do you sit in Buda traffic and grumble? Yeah, right? Do you complain about the long lines at HEB and at Walmart? Because there are some, right? Right? Do you bemoan your fate every day because things aren't going quite the way you planned? Right? I mean, think about that. The most distinctive characteristic of the life of a believer, John MacArthur says, is thanksgiving. Oh God, give me a thankful heart. Fill my heart with gratitude. Don't let me miss you all the time. What you're doing around me and in me, let me see it. Don't let me miss it. And of course, dear Billy Graham, love him. He says this, a spirit of thankfulness is one of the most distinctive marks of a Christian whose heart is attuned to the Lord. Wow. Our heart is attuned to the Lord to the degree that we reflect this thanksgiving attitude. Wow. How close are you walking with him? Because the closer you walk to him, the more thankful you will be. That's powerful. A spirit of thanksgiving is one of the most distinctive marks of a Christian whose heart is attuned to the Lord. Thank God in the midst of trials and every persecution. That's an interesting statement, isn't it? It just kind of goes along with what we said a minute ago that Paul said. Now, I have to think about this. Why is it so often that we fail in this area? Is it the inconveniences of life? Is it the things that kind of aggravate us or nuisances to us, the things that are hard or difficult that hassle us or get in the way? I mean, what is it? I think if we just kind of get our head around that, isn't it often that it's in the little bothers of life, the little things that God is often getting our attention and reminding us of how constant he is for us, how he's always there for us, that he never leaves us or forsakes us, but he walks with us? And I just began to think this week as I was just thinking about this message and what God was laying on my heart to preach this message as we're approaching Thanksgiving, but to just remind us that, listen, this is an opportunity for us to be reminded that we are daily to be giving thanks, not one time a year. This reminded me of how, even in my own life, how often I struggle and take things for granted. The nuisances of life get in the way. Someone wrote these words, even though I clutch my blanket and growl when the alarm rings, thank you, Lord, that I can hear. There are many who are deaf. Even though I keep my eyes closed against the morning light as long as possible, thank you, Lord, that I can see. Many are blind. Even though I huddle in my bed and I put off rising, thank you, Lord, that I have the strength to rise. There are many who are bedridden. Even though the first hour of my day is hectic, when socks are lost, and toast gets burned, and tempers fall short, and my kids are so loud it drives me crazy. Thank you, Lord, for my family. There are many who are lonely. Even though our breakfast table never looks like the pictures on Instagram or in magazines, and the menu is at times unbalanced, Lord, thank you that we have food to eat, because there are many who are hungry. And even though the routine of my job is often monotonous, busy, hectic, and harried, thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to work. There are some who have no job. Even though I grumble and bemoan my fate from day to day and wish my circumstances were not so modest, thank you, Lord, for the gift of life. I like that. Now, you can kind of fit that to your own life, but if you just think about it, we struggle, don't we, sometimes, with just being thankful, because life doesn't always go the way we think it's going to be. And I love that Paul says, in everything, give thanks. Well, just in case you didn't know it, we're not the only ones that have struggled with this. in our story this morning in Luke, the 17th chapter, verses 11 through 19. If you're there, I want you to see this with me. There were some who struggled with this as well. I want you to notice the story this morning. This is an interesting story. It's a favorite to many. It's perfect for the topic today when we're thinking about hashtag Thanksgiving, right? Something of significance and importance, because here's what I want you to see in this passage of Scripture. To someone in this story, there was a hashtag thankful moment. It was highly significant and important to him. So important to him that he came back to Jesus to tell him so. But to about nine others, it wasn't hashtag important enough. And I want us to see it this morning. If you've got your Bible there, look with me if you would. This is a true story, actually happened in the life of Christ. This is going on in Jesus as he's traversing and traveling around the New Testament world. And you'll see it in the passage this morning. Luke 17, beginning in the 11th verse. If you've got your Bible there, you follow along with me. This may be a familiar story to you, but it is an interesting one. Look at it. Here's what happens, verse 11. Now it happened that as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then he entered into a certain village, and there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices, and they said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." So when Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priest." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed, healed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, wrote hashtag thankful. He returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. You wonder what Thanksgiving looks like? That's what it looks like. Right there. That's what it looks like. Verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?" And he said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well." Now I'm just going to tell you, that's a tremendous passage of Scripture narrative. That there is so much in that story that will preach that as I began to kind of pour into it and work over it, I kept thinking, gosh, that will preach, that will preach, that will preach, and we'll be here till next Thanksgiving, right? And we have a whole year of Thanksgiving just from this one story. That is such a powerful story. Let me see if I can give you a little bit of a background of what's taking place here so that you don't miss it. This story is interesting because, you know, we have the synoptic gospels. That is, that they kind of go together. You have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Most of the stories that you'll find recorded in those gospels are repeated in some shape, form, or fashion in the other gospels. This one is only in Luke. Only, that's significant to me. Only Dr. Luke, right? He was a stickler for details, and he didn't want us to miss this. Okay, so only in Luke do we get this beautiful, poignant story that reflects both the hashtag thankfulness, right? But also it reflects a lack of gratitude and thankfulness. And it's interesting, the contrast that you see in this passage of Scripture. And one of the things that happened to me as I was studying this passage of Scripture, I kept thinking, you know, just begin to think about what you have to be thankful for. What do you really have to be thankful for in your life? What is it that you are most thankful for if you were to reflect on that? Here's what I want us to do. You're not going to get permission to do this hardly ever in this church, I can promise you, because most of the time we're going to tell you, turn off your ringer and put your phone away, right? But here's what I want you to do. If you are at any type of social media platform, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, if you do any of those things, I want you to get your phone out this morning. Get it out. I'm going to give you permission to use your phone even while this service is going on. Look at Tom Davis. Look at me going, "Are you crazy? Have you lost your mind?" Yes, I have lost my mind. That's absolutely a true fact. But I want you to do this. I want us to put, what are you most thankful for that Jesus has done in your life lately? And then I want you to put hashtag thankful. up on the screen, you're going to see this. I'm going to put this up there. You can say it something like this. I'm at First Baptist Church Buda this morning, and I am most thankful to Jesus for, and then put hashtag thankful. Down on the bottom, there's some instructions. Be sure to tag the church's Instagram account. See that? At FBC underscore Buda, Texas, so we can share your posts. All right, so she's going to leave that up there so you can see it. And some of you go, I don't have any clue what you're talking about. And that's okay. If you text, text it to somebody. But can you imagine this morning how awesome that would be if all through this service, there are people that are sending out messages that they are thankful to Jesus for this from First Baptist Church of Buda. I think that's awesome. And listen, I've watched you guys. I know this, that you can do your phones and listen at the same time, right? You're good at it. I see Nancy yesterday was working on her phone and she was walking. And I said, don't do that. Stop, right? You're gonna trip or fall or something. She's good at it, though. She can do it, right? You can do this. So go ahead and do that this morning. And you say, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to do that in a service. Then do it at the dinner in a little bit, or do it when you get home. But at some point today, if you're on Facebook, if you're on Twitter, if you're on Instagram, whatever you are, do a hashtag thankful. A shout out to Jesus. Remember what a hashtag is. It's something of great importance and significance to you that Jesus has done in your life. Look at our story. This moment in this one leper's life was so significant and so important to him. How did he hashtag it? He came running back to Jesus. I like to think he ran to him. He fell at his feet. In a loud voice, he began to praise him and thank him and adore him. And I'm just going to tell you, that's what ought to be happening in us. That's what ought to be happening in our church today. And I want to just give you a couple of things real quick in the time that we have together this morning. And you can be hashtagging thankful these things if you want to. But I just want to give you a couple of things this morning that you and I ought to be thankful for. If you're sitting there going, well, I'm having a hard time thinking of anything. Well, God bless your heart, right? It shouldn't be that hard to think of something Jesus has done for you lately. But I'm going to give you a couple of them right here, right from this story. You can jot these things down. I want you to think about that this morning because it emerges from our story. Here's the first thing. You ready? Kind of jot this down. You and I ought every day to be thankful for the spiritual eyes to see the things that put distance between us and God. Now think about that. That sounds like a convoluted statement maybe to you, but let me kind of repeat it. Here it is. You and I ought to be thankful every day for the spiritual eyes to see the things that put distance between us and God. I'm going to tell you, I'm thankful for that. Some of us go, well, I don't like it when my toes get stepped on. I don't like it when I feel conviction. I don't like it when the error of my way gets pointed out in a church service and the Holy Spirit begins to move on me. I don't like it. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You ought to be thankful for that. You ought to be thankful that God in His mercy loves you enough to show you the error of your ways. I am thankful to God every day for the love and the mercy that He showed me in the error of my sin. I'm glad that He convicts me. I'm glad that sometimes He knocks me upside of the head to get my attention. I'm glad that He does that. I want to give thanks to Him for all the ways that He has allowed me to see those things in my life that put distance between me and God. I think that's important. I want you to think about this with me just for a second. What are some of the obvious things that put distance between us and God? Well, sin, right? We know that sin in our life separates us from God and puts distance between us and God. God is holy and we are not. And because He's holy and we are not, we are separated from Him, right? I mean, that puts distance between us. And the Bible tells us in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, right? Sin puts distance between us. And Romans 3:10, Chuck's verse that he quoted to me yesterday, there is none righteous, no, not none. Yesterday, Chuck said, how you doing? I said, I'm good. He said, there's none good. There's none righteous, no, not one. I said, that's right. I'm not that good. It's true, right? I mean, we recognize that. And Paul said this, the wages of sin is death. We know that to be separation, eternal separation from God. Sin separates us. And listen, I think that even in those Bible verses in this story, this is God in His Word showing us, putting into context for us, the things in our life, because He loves us, the things in our life that cause separation between us and this God that loves us and wants to pour out in our life. Sin separates us. Also, busyness separates us. We get so busy sometimes that we don't have time for God. Let's just admit it. Life is hectic and busy, and we meet ourselves coming and going, and so we're too busy for Him. We're too busy for His Word. We're too busy for prayer. We're too busy for the things of God, and we're just so busy that we have a hard time finding time for God. Let's just be honest about that. And that busyness puts a separation between us and God. I heard someone say one time, if you're too busy for God, you are too busy. And it's a true statement, I think. Or what about this? Our own personal hobbies and interests sometimes put separation between us and God. We have lots of loves, right, in this life. We kind of neglect sometimes what ought to be our first love. Or maybe there's this one. Even other relationships, family and other relationships. And I think family and relationships are important. But I think when you put God first, those other relationships fall into place where they're supposed to be. I think that sometimes those relationships can cause distance between us. Sometimes we allow our earthly relationships to crowd out our relationship with Jesus. We care more about what other people think than we do about what God says. Sometimes it's that. Sometimes even religion and religious duty put separation between us and God. You know what I call those things? I just gave you a list of them there. You know what I call those things? Leper's spots. Leper's spots. And I'll show you why here in a minute. Those are all like leper's spots. Things that cause separation. Because think of what happened with a leper, right? When a leper was determined to have that dreaded disease in New Testament times, what happened to them? They were separated from the community. They weren't allowed to be around their own families, in their own homes. They had to live outside of camp. They had to live away from everyone. And those things caused separation, right? Those are like our leper spots, things in our life that put distance between us and God. Well, let's go back to our story for a minute, and let's kind of get this in context. It's what's happened, because like those leper spots of sin in our life, they put this distance between us and God. They keep us from fulfillment and from the meaning in life that He wants to give us. That's a true statement for us, and it's a true statement in our story. Let's look at it. Look at verses 11 and 12 again that we looked at a minute ago. Kind of notice what happens here. It says this, "Now it happened as he, Jesus, went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then as he entered the village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off." What is that telling us? They were distanced. They stood afar off. That's interesting to me. That speaks of distance or separation, things far removed that need to be brought near. Now just think about that. Do you stand afar off from God today? And if so, why? What things? Listen, I'm so thankful that God shows us those things. He loves us enough to show us those things that may cause that to happen. Again, we're told in verse 11 that Jesus is on His way to Jerusalem, and He's journeying through this area of Samaria. That tells us itself that Jesus was passing through an area that was kind of considered by the Jews to be ceremonially unclean. It was a place that was kind of distance itself. The fact that Jesus was even in Samaria is really remarkably interesting. Matthew Henry, one of the commentaries that I like to read, has an interesting take on this. I think it's just worth kind of digging into. I want you to hear this. And he speaks a little bit differently than we do because of his error. But listen to this statement from Matthew Henry as he kind of puts it in context for us. Here's what he says about it. Christ is now on his way to Jerusalem. About the midway, where he had little acquaintances in comparison with what he had either in Jerusalem or in Galilee. He is now in the frontier country, the marches that lay between Samaria and Galilee. He went that road to find out these lepers and to cure them. For he has found of them that sought him not. Can I read that statement again, that last one? For he has found of them that sought him not. In other words, aren't you thankful for God that he sought you out? That he seeks you out. I mean, why in the world was Jesus in Samaria? You know why he was there? Because there were 10 lepers who needed him. And you know what? He does the same for you and me. When we are far off, what does he do? He comes looking for us to show us where we got off target and to bring us back to him. That's beautiful to me. That didn't just happen in this story. Jesus came that way for a reason. You know why? Because there were 10 lepers there. And the same is true for you and I. Listen, I am so thankful that he shows me the things that cause my distance between him and me. That's powerful. But here's the second thing I want you to see. You ready? Here's number two. You can be thankful, right? That Jesus shows us those things. So thankful that God allows us to see those things that distance us from him so that we can correct them. But look at this. Be thankful for the very redemptive things that Jesus does in your life to bring closeness between you and God. Here's what I've come to understand about my own faith walk. I didn't find God, he found me. He came seeking me. He sought me, right? And here's what happened. When he found me, I was destitute and helpless and could not get to him on my own. So you know what he did? He did the things necessary to pick me up and carry me to the Father. That's what he does. That's what he does for you and I. He initiates those redemptive things that bring us back to him, back into relationship, back into closeness to the Father. Let me remind you again of what Matthew Henry said there. He said, Jesus went that road to find out these lepers, to find them and to cure them, for he is found of them that sought him not. Let me just say it this way, because this is how I kind of understand it. Jesus goes out of his way to find us and to bring us back to himself, to close the gap, to bring us back into relationship with, to close the distance between us and him. And I got to tell you, listen, I will be forever thankful for that. That he initiates that. He goes the distance to close the gap between us and him. Look at verses 13 and 14 in our passage, and you'll see, this is where I'm getting this. Look at this. It says this, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Let me just stop there for a second and make a comment here. We know from Levitical law, they were not allowed to talk to other people who didn't have leprosy. They were to stand at a distance, and the only thing they were allowed to say to them was, unclean, unclean. But in this case, they said something different. There is faith expressed in those very words. They lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's a faith statement right there. Verse 14. So when he saw them and he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Did you notice it? Jesus did what was needed to close the gap. He did what was needed in their life to bring them near. You notice in our passage that the 10 men, these 10 lepers who were far, distanced from others, distanced from God, from Jesus. Did you notice what they did in verse 13? They lifted up their voice and they cried out. And it's that simple to me. If this morning God puts his hand on your life and he begins to, in his mercy and grace, show you some things that have come between you and him, don't you love that? You know what? All you got to do is cry out to him. Call on him, wherever he is. I love that Paul says it so simply. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. Call on him. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me, right? Call on him. That's what they did. They called on him. It kind of makes me think of a song from a lot of years back that Nicole Molan said that simply said this, when I call on Jesus, all things are possible. I can mount on wing with eagles and I can soar. When I call on Jesus, mountains are going to fall because he'll move heaven and earth to come rescue me when I call. Don't you love that? I mean, that's my Lord. Can I just tell you, listen, every single day, our hearts ought to be overflowing with hashtag thankfulness because of that distance that he spans for us. Notice the redemptive things that Jesus did in the story. I see three things that Jesus did here. They jump right off the page at me in this passage of Scripture. If you look at it in verse 14, he saw, he said, and he saved. He saw, he spoke, and he redeemed. Right? Do you see that? It's all right there in that passage of Scripture. Verse 14 says, when he, Jesus, saw them, he said to them, go show yourself to the priest. And so as they went, they were cleansed. They were healed. You see what he did there? He saw, he said, he saved. Christian, that's what he did for you. He saw you when you were at a distance. He saw you. He said to you, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll never cast you out. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. He said, and then what did he do? You didn't do it. He did it. He saved. I love that. It's so powerful. Let's kind of unpack it. Let's think about that. He saw their needs. Jesus saw their needs across the distance. And I believe that he saw past the topical need that we see when we read this story. When we read this story, we see lepers. And we studied the story enough to know that in New Testament time, leprosy was one of the most feared diseases of all time. Often, leprosy is compared to sin. If you read commentaries, often you'll see that comparison to sin. Sin separates us. Sin ostracizes us. Sin makes us unclean, right? Just kind of like leprosy. But these guys had leprosy. But Jesus saw past that. He also knew that these men were hurting. They'd been cut off from their community. There's no telling the emotional, mental scars that they carried with them every day. The insecurities, the hopelessness, and the despair. We'll never see our families again. We'll never be able to go home. We'll have to live the rest of our life out in a cave somewhere, ringing a little bell and shouting unclean to other people. Can you imagine the hopelessness that filled their heart? But listen, Jesus saw that, past the topical to that, but he saw even beyond that and deeper. He saw their spiritual need. They needed a Savior, a Messiah. They cried out for a Messiah, didn't they? When they said, Jesus, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on us. Jesus, Master or Messiah, save us, have mercy on us. You know what they were saying? They were crying out a spiritual need in their life to be met. Jesus saw that. Listen, how can my heart not be thankful and full of thanks when I think of that? That's where I was when he saw me. He saw past all the masks that I hide behind, all the things that try to make it look like I'm okay, you're okay, we're all okay. You know, we hide behind those, don't we? Even at church sometimes. We walk in those doors and we look so good, but Jesus sees past that. He sees the emotional hurts and scars, the things deep inside us that we keep telling. He sees that, but he sees past that too. He sees spiritually what's going on. And he knows just what you and I need. My Savior sees. Oh, I'm so thankful that my God sees the real me. I want others to see the real me, I think. Right? Are you like that? I think I want others to see the real me. Well, God in Jesus sees the real me. And he loves me despite me. And the same is true for you, and the same is true for these men. He sees us. He sees your needs. He knows you. He cares. He sees past what's on the surface. He sees what others see, past what's behind all of that. He sees us where we're hurting. I love that. And not only that did he see, but he speaks. He speaks into our life. He speaks truth into our life. And I think about the things that he says to us, things like, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I will never leave you or forsake you. Once again, come to me, all you are weary and heavy laden, I will give you rest. He speaks into that, and he saves. One more, because I don't want you to miss this. Given those two things, we ought to be thankful for, right? I'm so thankful that he shows me the things that distance me from him. And I'm so thankful that he did the things that were necessary to close that gap. And because of that, listen, here's the third thing. Be thankful by being willing to do the things that reflect an ever-thankful life in praise and worship to God. Look at it again and you'll see it. Verses 15 through 19. I got to close with this, guys. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God. and fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Foreigner is a word that means distanced one. Foreigner. And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. Did you see the things that he did that reflected a heart of gratitude? I said it when we began the message today. He returned, and I like to think, and this is probably just Buddy kind of imagining what this picture must have looked like. It says that he returned. I like to think that he came running back to Jesus as soon as he recognized what Jesus had done in his life. He came running back to him. And look at your Bible there in verses 15 and 16. It says this, and with a loud voice, he glorified God. He wasn't afraid to be heard. He wasn't afraid to say, thank you, Jesus. All to God be the glory. It's him that works. It's him that blesses. It's him that saves. He wasn't afraid to shout out his praises to God. And he fell on his face and his feet, giving him thanks. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we have a mixed notion of thanksgiving. But that clears it up. That's thanksgiving. If you're thankful, run to Jesus and don't just tell him. Shout it to him in praise. Fall on your face before him in worship. Remind him, it's all about you, Jesus. It's all about you. It's all about what you've done. I don't know how important and significant Thanksgiving is to you. But if you're here today and you're a born-again Christian, I'm going to tell you something. You need to go home and think about that. Because listen, there ought to be a hashtag thankfulness in your heart. Because of the significant, important things that Jesus has done for you, just like he did for this leper in our story. Listen, go home today and retweet it. Hashtag thankful. Thankful for what Jesus is doing in my life right now. Thankful that he shows me where I'm distanced from him and draws me to himself. Thankful that he closes the gap between me and God. Jesus, that's what my Savior does. So thankful that I will forever be in debt to him in worship and praise and glory. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? With heads bowed and eyes closed, our instrumentalists are going to come and just begin to play our hymn of invitation today. You're going to recognize it right off. It's just this thankful song. God is so good. God is so good. God is so good. He's so good to me. Is that your testimony today? We're going to sing it in worship to him here in just a minute. I don't know what you're thankful for, but I can tell you this. It ought never to be a one-time-a-year thing, an event. It ought to be the most distinctive characteristic of your life if you're a believer. And it'll cause you to come running to Jesus, falling at his feet in worship. And this morning, as we close this service and we get ready to move into a time of fellowship and enjoying a meal together, our hearts ought to be overflowing with thankfulness to God for who he is and what he's done for us. And how could we do less than rise this morning in this place and acknowledge God is so good. God is so good. I'm going to pray, and then our ministers are going to be here. Our deacon for the week and his wife will be here. The altar's going to be open. Maybe you need to come running to Jesus today. I'm not Jesus. Bethany's not Jesus. Ray and Beverly aren't Jesus. But you come running to him this morning and we'll celebrate with you. We'll celebrate with you. We'll give thanks with you for what he's doing. We'll be declaring with you, God is so good. I don't know what God's doing in your life, but I hope right now that he is filling your heart with significant, important thankfulness. Thankfulness to him. Father, we thank you for the truth of your word this morning. God, now it's up to you how you will take it and use it and stir us and change us. God, I pray that our worship would be sweeter this morning because of you and what you've done for us that we recognize. Lord, we pray that those who may need to respond in some way, whether it's in a seat or at this altar this morning, that you would give them the courage to come back to you and say thank you. We'll give you the praise and the glory for what you do. It's in your name I ask these things.
Amen. Would you stand with us as we sing and worship to Him, just making this declaration. God is so good. And if you need to come this morning, you come even as we sing. Seated just for a moment. I know y'all are ready to go eat, right? But you don't have to get to the Cracker Barrel or anybody and stand in line. You're going to stand in line here, okay? It's all right across the hall from us, so you're gonna have a great time. I want to share a decision with you that so blessed by this. Joy Bell, come stand with me. And Janet, Caitlin, y'all come stand with her. What a sweet, sweet lady. Joy Bell's been worshiping with us for a long time. And she comes this morning on profession of her faith and baptism. She just recently was baptized, and I got to do that, and so blessed by that, at what God's doing in her life. And so, Joy Bell, we're so glad to have you with us as a part of our church family. And so this morning, she comes to unite with us. Her family's all here already, and so we got to claim this last one right here.
That's right.
She also shared with me that today would be her 64th wedding anniversary. Today. So that's a very special day for her. And we pray for you in that, because I know that's hard also in some ways. But we're so glad to have Joy Bell. If you will engraft her into her fellowship, make her feel at home with us and welcome. Will you say amen so she can hear that?
Amen.
Amen. She's going to stay up here for a little bit with Janet and Caitlin and Rui over there. Come stand on this side, Rui. Come stand by Grandma. Grandma's her biggest support, see? She's got the color, and so Grandma put blue in her hair to support Rui, all right? So you stand by Grandma. They're going to stay up here for a little bit, so you can come by, hug their necks, encourage them. So you won't be too late to lunch. Just come by here and then make your way over that way, and please plan to stay. Even if you didn't plan to stay today, enjoy this time together. I think it's great as a church family for us to get to be together and fellowship with one another and be reminded of how blessed we are by the Lord for our church family. So please plan to stay and be a part of that. But come by here and greet Joy Bell and this family and tell her how thankful you are for her and her coming. Always going to be Joy Bell to me. Always going to be. Some people call her Joy, but she's Joy Bell to me. All right? That's right. That's right. So come by and greet her here in just a minute. Don't forget about all the opportunities of service. I know we took a lot of time this morning to share that, but big one tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock, Hanging to the Green work day. If you're available and can come help us, please come help us. No services Wednesday for Thanksgiving, so those are a couple of pressing things for you to remember. Next Sunday, we'll have our Hanging to the Green service, so some great things going on there that we don't want you to miss. I'm going to ask if you would stand with us this morning as we close out this service. And Brother Ray is our deacon for the week this week. He's going to come to the pulpit, lead us in our closing prayer. He's also, I've been instructed to tell you, to bless the food. All right? So when they get over there, they can start eating. So he's going to close us out. He's going to bless the food. And then don't rush for the line.
come up here and greet Joy Bell first. All right, brother, if you don't mind. Yes. Okay. Okay, don't know if you couldn't hear that. There's overflow places to sit to eat over in the K building that have been set up for you. So if you get in that building over there, the fellowship hall, praise the Lord. That's another thing to be thankful for. God's opening the door for that to get bigger, right? It's tiny now, okay? So if you can't find a place there, there's places available over in the K building for you to eat. Thank you guys for coming to worship with us. Ray's going to close us out and bless the food, and then we're going to sing our family song.
What a great day. Here's my bulletin, and you may have been able to do the same. The pastor is really on a roll today, and no telling what we got. Joyce has got over to, as we move to the next building. Isn't this fun? Thank you, Lord, for what we do. May we pray. Our Father and our God, we take again a moment to just thank you for all that you do for us. Amazing love that you have. We thank you so for it. Amazing love that we have with the number of people that we have together serving you here. We thank you so for leading us all this way. Father, we pray for a wonderful, joyful meal together, another opportunity to learn and meet such great Christians. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let's hold hands across the aisle.